Why don't we pray, and then we will read our Bibles. God, thank you for being good to us and for loving us and for letting us come together and read your word together. I pray that as we read today that you would speak to us, you would draw us to you, that you would fill us with hope and love, that you would change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about hope today. That's what's on the docket. You know what it's like to live with hope? Let me give you an example that most of us could probably relate to right now. So, sermon starting, thought is, okay, stay awake, 30 minutes, stay awake, 25 maybe, stay awake. But there's hope, right? Because you can smell the potluck wafting through. So we're living with hope, all of us together. We're going to talk about hope, different kind of hope, but you get the idea. So, and the Israelites were living in the desert. They were in a place that was pretty hopeless. They had been in a place that was even more hopeless. They were slaves, no hope of getting free, couldn't travel, couldn't leave. And then God's people, the Israelites, were brought out of slavery by God, and now they're in the desert. And we saw last week is that was difficult. That was, in fact, that was quite a parallel to our lives. They lived in the desert for 40 years. We live in the desert for however many years we live in this life because there are things in this life that make it a desert for us and make it difficult that always seem to counterbalance whatever is good that is happening in our lives. So what are some of the people or circumstances or things in your life that make it a desert? So you think about those. Then we say, what's our hope in this desert? What's our hope in this life that is difficult? No one argues with the difficultness of it because it's for everybody. That's the way it is for all of us. How do we keep going forward? What is there that gives us hope as we go through a difficult life? And I made a mistake last week. I realized this week as we were going forward with thinking through this time. I made a mistake last week because I said our hope in the desert. Our hope in the desert is that God is with us. And actually, hope probably was the wrong word for that. It was more like our comfort. What gives us joy and peace on the way is that God is with us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will not fear evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is with me in the desert. That's not as much hope as it is, okay, there's strength in that. I can make it through. That's a reason to persevere. What is our hope in the desert? What's the thing on the other side that makes the desert worthwhile, that makes it that we can say, okay, I can go through this desert of a life because there's something much better waiting for me on the other side? We're going to talk about that hope today. And the Israelites, as they were going through the desert, they did have a hope. They had a hope, a true hope. They had a living hope. They had a hope as they went through not just slavery, but then the desert. As they went through bad circumstances, they had a real hope. They had a hope of the promised land. They had a hope that they would get to the promised land, that if they made it through, if they got out of Egypt somehow, and then if they made it through the desert, they would get to a promised land. And there were words that are repeated as God promises them the promised land. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Verse 7. Exodus 3, verse 7. Then the Lord said, and this is while they're still in Egypt, so the promise starts while they're still slaves. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to, this is the hope, this is the promised land, to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That was their hope, to take them to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a good land, to a much better place. It'll be a promised land because God promised it to them. I'm going to take you to a paradise compared to where you're at, compared to anywhere else you could be, a land flowing with milk and honey. That phrase was repeated over and over again from that point forward, both by the people when they were complaining, saying it's not flowing with milk and honey, and as when they were in the desert, and God, and through Moses, repeated it to the people. This is the promise, take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. That was their hope as they went through the desert. You're going to end up on the other side at a promised land. You're going to end up at a much better place. And many times, as you can imagine, as you know, if you've been following the story along or have looked into the story at all in the past, they lost that hope, right? When they were complaining in the desert, when they wanted to turn back to Egypt, when they said, it's not working out, I see how hard this isn't hopeful, this isn't good, they lost sight of the hope, they lost sight of the promised land that was coming, they didn't see it, they saw what was right in front of them, and they said, this isn't good. This isn't milk and honey. I'm not happy with this. The road is hard, and so that's why they would rebel against God, and that's why many of them didn't even enter into the promised land, because they lost sight of that hope. They lost sight of where God was taking them, what their hope was in the desert. But God's promise to them gave them truly living hope because he fulfilled his promise. He took them to the promised land. They ended up, it was a long 40 years in the desert, but at the end of that, they ended up in the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And we read that and we can identify probably quite a bit with them, because we look for a promised land. As people, we look for a promised land. We look around and it's like, yeah, I get the desert part of my life. And I know that it could be so much better. I know that my life could be a lot better than it is right now. It is something that I think we could all say, right? I feel it. There is a promised land just right around the corner, one step in front of me. My life isn't the way it should be right now. It's difficult. It's hard. I get the desert part. But I know, it's like I can taste it. It's like when you're, you know, have you ever gone to the sea and you could smell it before you could see it? Is that a bad analogy in Nebraska? That's like doing a World Cup analogy, right, in this group. But yeah, that's okay. That's a bad example. But maybe you can even imagine that. You're going to the sea. You can smell it before you see it. Anyway, it's like I know I could taste it. It's like I life could be so much better if I could just get this thing fixed, and if I could just marry that person or fix my marriage or get out of my marriage, or if I could have kids or my kids could get out of the house, or if I could get my body in shape, or if I could just get a little bit more like this, or if I could finish this education, or if I could get that job or that promotion, or if I could do what I want, if I could go to that place, if I could have this experience, all my friends are going here, if I could go there with them, I could taste it. Life could be so much better. There's like a promised land just right there, and I never quite get there. Life is never perfect. There's always something more. You save up and you buy it, and that's embarrassing, so I won't tell you the story, but I saved up and bought something, and it's not here yet because it was back ordered. Oh, just frustrating. Anyway, and as soon as I bought it, I saw the next one that I wanted. It's like, oh, that's idolatry, right? But that's, it's like as soon as we get that thing, it's like, oh, I went there and I did that and it was fun and it was awesome. And now the next one and the next one, and we're always on to the next one, because life is never perfect. But like we could taste it. It could be. There's a promised land just right around the corner. The whole time we live in the desert, we're trying to get to the promised land. And our hope, our true hope, is that Jesus has a much better promised land prepared for us, much better than getting the next one or experiencing the next thing or whatever we taste and feel is right around the corner. That's not really a promised land, because you know, even when you get there, there'll be something else. Life won't be perfect. It won't be the way you want. That there's something much better for us that Jesus has for us, and he has taken us truly to a promised land. The big idea for us today is just like the Israelites, we live with a living hope. We have a living, a true hope as we go through this desert of a life. And in the middle of the desert, in the middle of suffering, look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a, and here it is, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. So he's caused us to be born again, come up out of the water. I'm born again. I'm a brand new person inside. I've been regenerate. I'm a new person. I'm born into a living hope. So now I have a living hope. And that is an inheritance. So I'm born into this inheritance. So that's inheritance is something that's in the future. So this living hope, something in the future, an inheritance, it's something you don't have yet, but it's there. It's waiting for me. A living hope, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. We have a living hope that life is hard. And he's going to go into that. Just keep reading. If for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. And then he talks about that. Life is hard. It's a desert. That was a desert passage I wanted to read last week. Life is a desert. It's difficult. But if you're in Christ, you have a living hope, something that is kept for you. Just like the Israelites as they were going through the desert. There's a living hope. There's something waiting for you on the other side of the desert. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Beautiful description of this living hope that everyone who is in Christ has, this promise waiting for us. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So that verse is a sobering. The last verse is sobering because it's saying if you're not in Christ, this isn't a hope that you have. But everything before that is if you are in Christ, this is your hope. This is my hope. This is the hope that we have, the living hope, an eternity with God, our paradise, our land flowing with milk and honey waiting for us after we get through the desert, eternity with God in his new creation. That's his promise to us. In the middle of the desert, as we go through the desert, just like the Israelites as they went through the desert, they had the promise, there's hope, something on the other side waiting for you. That's his promise to you and I as we go through the desert. And that is what gives us hope. Look at Psalm 23. We read it last week. We focused on, even as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We focused on that part. As I go through the desert, you're with me. But then look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So that's even as I go through the desert. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Out of all the good things that were said in that psalm, they were all temporary. Valley of the shadow of death, temporary. God's presence then in the valley of the shadow of death is temporary because that ends at some point. Surely goodness and mercy following me all the days of my life, that's temporary. When we gather here and I'm not up here but I'm down there, then surely goodness and mercy won't be following me all the days of my life because my life will be over. Everything that's promised in Psalms 23 that is so beautiful is temporary except the last part, and that's our hope. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's it. That's what our hope is. That's our living hope that we've been born again into. That's what we have. That's the hope that we have. And the reason we have that hope, and the hero of this story, just like the hero of all the other stories, is Jesus. That's why we have a living hope. That's because of him that we have this living hope. It's because of Jesus, the same one who accompanied the Israelites in the desert and guided them into their living hope, their promised land, is the same one who walks with us today and takes us to our promised land. He takes us to, he guides us to, and it's because of him that we have this hope. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. There it is again. There's verse after verse. It says this is our hope. It's just thrown in, just because it's part of it. It's the big part of it. It's a foundation. It's what we have waiting for us. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we belong. Oh, that would be a... Oh, never mind. Keep going. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. It's because of Jesus that we have this living hope. It's because of his life and his death and his resurrection from the dead. It's because of him that we can be freed from our rebellion and we can be God's children who are going through the desert, accompanied by the Spirit of Jesus within us as he guides us to the promised land. And it's because of Jesus who will take us and Jesus will glorify us because he rose from the dead, so we will rise from the dead. We will be glorified and we will be with him forever. He guides us to the promised land. Here's the thing. That changes everything for us. Having this living hope, no matter how hard my desert is now, my true hope is not the next thing I'm going to buy or getting everything fixed with my family or my home or my job or my education. Or that's not my hope. My hope is heaven. My hope is to be with Jesus forever. The new heaven is in the new earth. That's what my hope is. That's what our hope is. Having that hope changes everything. It changes everything. The same way that it should have changed everything for the Israelites, and it didn't because they couldn't see it. They've lost sight of it. They didn't keep in front of them this hope. They complained and they rebelled and they wanted to go back. And it should have changed everything for them, where they were going, the hope that they had. It should change everything for you and I as well if we live with the living hope. Why? Well, because we're just here for a minute. We're just here for a while. We're just here for, it's just a minute. We're just here. It's not permanent. Nothing is permanent. Nothing in this life is permanent. So it doesn't matter how difficult it is. It's not forever. It's not going to last forever. So we can put up with and we could sacrifice and we could persevere and we can suffer and we can, because it's just for a minute. It's just for a moment. It's not permanent. It changes everything, having this living hope, because everything that we have is temporary. It's we're just here for a minute, and the stuff we have, we only have for a minute too. No matter what we do with our lives, when we accumulate and no matter how much knowledge I pack in here, someday my mind's gonna go. No matter how much I work on this, someday this is gonna go. And no matter how much I get for myself, I'm going to lose it someday. Everything is temporary. I'm here for a minute, and the stuff I have, it's just for a minute. So people and things and our health and everything that we have, so if we have a living hope, that's not where our hope is, but our hope is in what's coming afterwards. We can live with open hands, and we can be generous, and we cannot hold on too tightly to anything. We don't have to base our identity on who we are and what we've accomplished and what we have in our hands and what we look like, and because that's all temporary. Our hope is built on something else. Our hope is in the future and what's coming. And that gives us purpose even right now. Because if my hope is in what's coming, he'll be my God and I'll be his son and I'll be with him forever. Well then, my purpose right now is I wanna know him as much as possible. I wanna be as close to him as possible. When I get there and that moment comes and now I'm with him forever, I don't want it to be like I have to meet somebody for the first time. I want it to be like somebody I deeply know and love, and because I've lived closely to that person my whole life. So we live closely to God and we spend our lives helping other people know God, and we pray for people and we invite people and we study with people and we focus on other people coming to know Jesus, because that gives purpose to our life, because our hope is in eternity, not in the right now. And our Father is taking us to that hope. He's guiding us to it. Jesus is taking us there. God the Father is guiding. The Spirit is in us guiding. God is taking us to our hope. And so we could trust him. And we can obey. Even when things look really, really bad, it's like, this doesn't make sense. And maybe my Christianity isn't working out because life isn't going well. It's of course it's not going well. You live in a desert. But we can trust the one who's taking us to the promised land and obey him even when we can't see and it doesn't make sense. And more than anything, having this hope changes everything for us because we can live hoping for this. We can live desiring, deeply desiring, please come quickly, Lord, because I want that. I'm ready for that life. This life is, yeah, it's great, but I want that life. That's what my hope is. Look at 2 Timothy 4. That's another theme that's woven through the New Testament. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Look at what Paul says. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. So he's like, I'm about to get to the promised land. I'm crossing the river right now, about there. And not only to me, but also to all who have, my version says loved. Other versions say longed for his appearing. Every time I read that, it makes me wake up. I'm like, am I longing for Jesus coming back? Am I longing for that? Because honestly, I kind of long for other things in life. He says, long for his appearing, who want him to come back. Or flip back to Hebrews. No, Hebrews would be forward. I'm reading in my notes, so it's just down the page. Hebrews would be a little forward from Timothy. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews 9, 28 says, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. So this is that hope, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are, look at the words, eagerly waiting for him. When my hope is the promised land that is waiting for me on the other side of this desert of a life, then that changes what I hope for. I hope for that moment. I hope for Jesus. I can live with that hope and that living hope that I have. So that becomes our application today. What should we do? If God gives a living hope to his children, a hope of being with him for all of eternity, and that no matter how bad this life is, it doesn't really matter because that's what's waiting for us. We should live with that hope. We should live in the middle of this desert. We should live with that hope. We should grab onto it and live with it. And this morning, if you're listening to this and you aren't a Christian, maybe you're a good person, but you've never made the decision to give yourself to Jesus, to repent and be baptized, to make him your Savior and Lord, then the bad part of this message, you don't have that hope. This isn't a hope that you can say, I got that, I'm holding on to that hope. No, because if you're outside of Christ, then this desert of a life is your promised land. It's as good as it gets for you, because what's waiting for you in eternity is an eternity of torment, separated from God, receiving his punishment and his wrath being poured out on you. But you can receive that living hope of being with God for eternity as your Father. You can receive that in an instant. When you come to Jesus and you give yourself to him, you surrender. Say, I want to follow you. You'll be the boss of me. You'll be the one who tells me what to do. And when you come to him, and in that moment when you repent, you make the decision in your head and your heart, when you're baptized, when your body is immersed in water, and you come back up out of the water, in that moment, you become God's child, and you receive the living hope, the hope of eternity with your Father, with God. And then no matter what happens in this life, it's as bad as it gets, because what's waiting for you is your living hope with your Father. So in this community, what we always say, what I always say is, whenever you're ready to make that decision, to give yourself to Jesus, tell someone. You'll be guided through repenting and being baptized and becoming God's child. And let me say this. The most important thing you can do in this desert of a life is to make that decision. That's the most important thing you could do. And if you are a Christian, well, what do we do with that? We're supposed to live in the light of our hope. We're supposed to live in the light of the hope that we have. We're supposed to hold on to that hope and keep it in front of us. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart. He's talking about desert things. So we do not lose heart, though our inner self is wasting away. Our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction, he's talking about all of the hardship of life. light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That's our hope. As we look not to the things that are seen, so he's saying this application, don't look to what's seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. That's temporary. They're here for a minute. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So if you're a Christian, live with the hope that you have. I'm saying that to me. Live with the hope that I have. Live with the hope that we have. How can you live with the hope that we have? Let me ask you some questions. Just whatever the Spirit lands on you in these questions, just stay there. Stop listening to the other question. Just let the Spirit give you an application from this. In what area of your life are you not trusting and obeying God? Living with hope, our true hope, makes us trust and obey God. What are you holding on to, just grabbing on to with all you've got? What possession or your health or a person, as if your happiness depended on that? Because our hope makes us know that our happiness doesn't depend on anything in this life. One more question. How can you focus more on your relationship with God, knowing Him better, walking more closely with Him? And how can you focus more on guiding other people to Him? Because when we live for eternity, that's what we focus on in this life. We ended last week with a little snippet of a memory verse. Let me give you one this week. And my encouragement last week was, every time you're in the desert, say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's one for this week. This isn't in a desert, just as every day, just sometime during the day when you wake up, just tell yourself this, just to get your mind in the right place. Look at Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Who's saying that? That's right. Jesus is saying that. And then John, like, chimes in. And look at what John, this is the part for us. Amen. And then listen, come, Lord Jesus. What if every day you just look up and come, Lord Jesus? Come quickly, Lord. And if we said that, maybe we would start being transformed into people who, the more that I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, the more that I say that, maybe my mind and my heart and my desires would be put in a place where I truly want Him to come, and I desire that, and I become a person that it could be said of me, that person longed for His appearing. So that's our memory verse, come, Lord Jesus. Why don't we stand? Pray, and then we'll sing together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good, as we love you and we want to love you. We trust in you. God, help us in our unbelief. We want you to come back, and even so, we confess that we kind of want you to wait a minute because we love this life. So would you channel our thoughts and our desires and our true feeling to deeply long for your appearing, to live for that day when you come back, to want it more than anything. There will be a people who say, come, Lord Jesus. And Jesus, we ask that you would come. We want to be with you. In your name we pray. Amen.